Chairperson, time for extension of the interview. Eka seva manam mansya. Jivasya eva mahamate. Almost intelligent Uddhava, the living entity called Jiva is part and parcel of me, but due to ignorance he has been suffering immaterial bondage since time immemorial. By knowledge, however, he can be liberated. Purport. Just as the sun reveals itself through its own light or covers itself by creating clouds, the personality of God that reveals and covers himself by knowledge and ignorance, which are expansions of his potency, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.5. Aparyam itasti anyam prakriti vinime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayidam jaya jagat. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind consisting of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Srila Prabhupada states in connection with this verse, the Supreme Lord Krishna is the only controller and all living entities are controlled by him. These living entities are his superior energy because the quality of their existence is one and the same with the Supreme, but they are never equal to the Lord in quantity of power. Because of quantitative inferiority of potency, the living entity becomes covered by Maya and is again liberated by surrendering to the Lord. The word Amsa, or part and parcel, is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mahima Vamsati Valoteji Vabhuta Sanatana. The living entity is Amsa, or a minute particle, and therefore subject to liberation and bondage, as stated in the Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Shakti Parakrupta Shekha Jyakya Satapara Adivya Karma Samgyanya Kritya Shakti Isyate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu possesses his superior internal potency as well as the potency called Kshetra Gya Shakti. This Kshetra Gya Shakti is also spiritual potency, but it is sometimes covered by a third or material potency called ignorance. Thus, because of the various stages of covering, the second or marginal potency is manifested in different evolutionary phases. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written that the living entity has been executed fruiting activities since time immemorial. Sensuous conditioned life may be called beginningless. Such conditioned life, however, is not endless, since the living entity may achieve liberation through the loving devotional service of the Lord. Since the living entity may acquire liberation, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that this liberated life begins at a certain point but is endless. Because liberated life is understood to be eternal. In any case, one may achieve the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may be understood to be eternally liberated, since such a person has entered into the eternal atmosphere of the spiritual sky. Since there is no material time in the spiritual sky, one who has achieved his eternal spiritual body on Lord Krishna's planet is not subject to the influence of time. His eternal physical life as Krishna is not designated in terms of material past, present and future, and is therefore called eternal liberation. Material time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual sky, and every living entity there is eternally liberated, having attained the supreme situation. Such liberation can be achieved by vidya, or perfect knowledge, which is understood in three phases, called Paramatma and Bhagavan, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The outer phase of vidya or knowledge is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, such knowledge is called Raja Vidya, or the king of all knowledge, and it awards the supreme liberation. Om Adhyayam Sri this chapter of the 11th canto is in response to the question that Uddhava is asking Krishna in the previous chapter, which is called the nature of fruitive activity. So Uddhava asks Krishna how it is that the living entity, being part and parcel of Krishna, actually comes to this material world and takes on a conditioned identity. So Uddhava has asked Krishna to actually describe the qualities or characteristics of such a person or such a living entity who is either liberated or conditioned. So this is Krishna starts responding in this chapter 11, which is respectively the symptoms of conditioned and liberated entities, living entities. So previously we heard the speaker speaking about how this world that we're living in, or what we made out to be as reality, is nothing but a dreaming phase. It's a creation of our little intelligence that we have. So this dreaming phase causes us to suffer different types of happiness, distress, lamentation here and there. But in all dream, we've all had dreams before. Sometimes we think we've just won the Miss World crown, contracted Miss Australia, Miss World, or something like that. And sometimes we may think we're in some faraway place when we're actually just on our bed. So that place does exist, but the reality is that's not where we are. That's the mind, that's what the mind stage fixes with us. So this condition, like this dreaming world that we've created for ourselves, creates so much illusion, brings us so-called happiness and distress. And as Devaraja Swami Maharaj explained the other day, how we start seeing everything as being separate to Krishna. So we see the material energy as being separate from Krishna. And because we don't really want to deal with Krishna, we become attracted to it. And then we start sticking taking truth as truth. But as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that this material energy is his energy. Maya, the Maya Shakti, the Maya potency, that is Krishna's energy. It is working under Krishna's direction, under Krishna's will. So it is centered and has the same consciousness as Krishna. So Krishna is the creator of everything. He's the maintainer and the narrator. And he always remains aloof from these situations. So what Krishna is responding to here, he's mainly explaining how by knowledge of our identity with Krishna, by knowledge of the relationship we have with Krishna, we can actually remove the shackles of material existence. Once we start understanding who we are in relation to Krishna and Krishna's creation, we can actually get rid of the shackles that are binding us in this world. Because we are, the jiva is in a marginal potency, which means we have a choice. And we can either choose to be under the control of Krishna's external potency, Durga Devi, or we can choose to be in the control of Krishna's internal potency. And depending on where we choose, we can't be in the middle. It's a very uncomfortable position. It's a position filled with a lot of anxiety, and we can see in the world we're living sometimes a lot of people are kind of in between. They're not exactly living an animalistic life, and at the same time, they're not living a transcendental life. So they're just in between. I listened to an lecture by Srila Prabhupada the other day, and he was explaining how he was quoting, I can't remember which verse it was in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was saying there's two kinds of people who can be happy in this material world. There's the fool and there's the transcendentalist. So the fool is thinking, yes, I'm going to plunder myself, I'm going to plunder everything I can see, enjoy my senses of everything, and in that way, you know, not ask questions, not inquire about anything, just do everything because I want to. So this mentality, it's a foolish mentality. And then on the other side, you can have a transcendentalist who actually knows his position in the world and who knows that he's under the control of Krishna's energy. And he takes shelter at Krishna's internal energy, which is the natural inclination for a spiritual, for a living entity. So you also then have people who, living entities that are in between. They're not exactly in tamo guna and living very ignorant lives, and they're not exactly living transcendental lives. They're not taking up spiritual practice, they're just there. And Srila Prabhupada explains how that is such an anxiety-filled life. Like, you don't know what to do. You obviously are against living such an ignorant life, and at the same time, you have problems surrendering to Krishna's internal potency. But the subject matter that is being spoken here between Krishna and Uddhava is that one should equip themselves with knowledge. So you don't only know knowledge about who you are, but you know knowledge about what's around you. And from here we can understand that because we actually don't have knowledge about our existence as jiva, as being part, and mind being part and parcel of Krishna, that we actually live a life of bondage, material bondage and ignorance. And that is why we become servants of the material energy. And that's what is bondage. So we suffer because of this forgetful situation, because we're thinking we're actually not part and parcel of Krishna. We're thinking that Krishna is on his own and I'm on my own. This is my world, this is my domain, and Krishna has nothing to do with it. But of course, with knowledge, we can understand that Krishna is creating everything, material and spiritual, but he remains aloof because he's the omnipotent Lord. He cannot be bound to any designation. We cannot blame him for anything. It's extension of Krishna's energy. So we can use this knowledge of knowing Krishna's different potencies, Krishna's different shaktis, and we can know how to actually use that and have that as a suffering, those children get burned. And the person that we're good at, the person that we do, is we want to blame someone else for that, for us having to stand there being burned by fire. But it's an understanding of the qualities of fire. You know what fire can do. It gives heat, it gives light, it also burns. So with knowledge, we can either have certain types of knowledge that keep us in darkness, knowledge that is not pertaining to Krishna, or knowledge that dissuades one from following Krishna's rules and regulations. And in that way, when we stick to that knowledge, we become covered, because Krishna doesn't reveal himself to anyone and everyone. He chooses to do so out of his own three global hearts. In this verse, the servants of Srila Prabhupada have quoted Bhagavad Gita 7.5, where it says, besides this inferior nature of Almighty Gangarjuna, there is a superior energy of mind consisting of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. So the Gangarjuna previously was explaining how this energy is inferior, but it comes superior because it covers us, the jiva, when actuality are much more superior to that energy. So like Krishna says, that this divine energy of his, this external potency, is very difficult for the mind jiva, who is in forgetfulness of his position, his identity. It's very difficult for that jiva to actually deal with that energy. The only way one can deal with that energy is if they surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. So that is Krishna's energy. Whether it's called bondage or liberation, it's coming from Krishna, and only by him can we actually get released from these touches. And by knowledge, we can actually release ourselves from the touches of ignorance. So you know, this example in the Bhagavatam, the Gajendra Moksha Pastor, how the elephant Gajendra was, and we can use this as a way to try and understand our position, that the elephant Gajendra was enjoying with the she elephants in the forest, going here and there, you know, nice flowers, bumblebees, and the weather was great. You know, the body was strong, the fish, and everything was really beautiful. It was splashing in water. The word splashing in the children's faces, which is a very uncomfortable position for us. And Gajendra found himself in that uncomfortable position because it's not the nature of an elephant to be in water. And then what happens is the crocodile happened to be there and caught hold of his feet. And that it was a battle that went on for hundreds of demigod years. So in different ways, the Bhagavatam is described. Material nature is depicted as different, you know, forest fire or a dark well. Sometimes described that material world appears like a crocodile, but sometimes Mother Bhumi comes right on a crocodile when there's an animal like that. So you can understand that we're in an unnatural position where Gajendra is in water, he's trying to have a battle with this crocodile who is in his element. So Maya, this is her element. She knows, she's very expert, she knows what to do to the living entity to make sure that he learns the lesson the hard way. So it's all about this material world, it's all about tough love. Unfortunately, we're there to learn the hard way. It's hardcore. So Durga, the material energy, she's under Krishna's instruction to make sure that the jiva in the material world is not supposed to be comfortable. So even if we're the biggest, you know, animal, or if we're the most wealthy or whatever, either way, whatever you have, you're not going to be comfortable. You have so many things, but you're always in fear that someone else might have more. Or we have certain assets, we have so many things, but there's always that fear of propensity that creeps in. What if someone has more? Or what if someone wants to take from me? And I'm supposed to be the best in the neighborhood. I'm supposed to be the wealthiest in the suburb I'm living in. I'm the one who's going to get the three cars. And then you make like a spine. And then you knock your head on the wall. So Gajen Red is in a very uncomfortable position. And we're also in a very uncomfortable position in the material world because it's not our natural, it's not our natural home. So we fight very hard. We're fighting for, since time immemorial, we're fighting with the external energy. And sometimes we're thinking, I've got her. I'm going to surpass. I'm going to win. And then she pulls 360 and then goes back down. And then sometimes we're thinking, I have my head up. I'm going to breathe for longer. And then she slaps us and we fall again. And we're still hoping, maybe this is the next time I'm going to do this. But the fact is that we can't win at all. It's impossible. There's no way a fish can survive outside of water. No matter how hard they pray for that fish, or how hard they perform sacrifice and austerity, a fish cannot survive outside of water. So similarly with Gajendra, after a very long time of being battered by that crocodile, after a very long struggle, he finally remembered a certain prayer from his previous life. He started, his knowledge started creeping in. So he started remembering who he is in position to material energy. So Gajendra started offering a prayer to Lord Hari. He picked up a lotus and he surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Hari. After a long battle with that crocodile in the water. So you can see that when we have knowledge, it creeps in at different times and we have to take the advantage of that knowledge, and that knowledge will give us liberation. So it took a very long time for Gajendra to actually realize, I'm not going to win this battle. I might as well just surrender to the feet of Hari, as he said in the Bhagavad Gita, so many verses. Krishna is saying, just surrender to me, and I will deliver you, I will protect you from all fear. But it takes a very long time for the jiva, for the living entity, to actually trust Krishna. Because we have a lot of samskar, we have a lot of conditioning from previous birth that think that only we can save ourselves. So Gajendra is showing us that how you can use your knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowledge of the Supreme Lord's energy to liberate ourselves. So he got to that platform where he just surrendered to Krishna. Same with Pingala. Pingala tried to enjoy as much as she could, and then she got to a point where she was frustrated. And then she herself started realizing, she started gaining knowledge by the mercy of her pure devotee. You know, she started Dhamitriya, she started realizing that actually that I am part and parcel of the world and I'm not supposed to be enjoying material sense gratification. I should therefore just surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord and become a servant, selfless servant. So when you're acting in knowledge, that is the best situation that you can be in this world. Because without knowledge, we run around, we do things whimsically, and then we get burnt later on. So this is the point. This text is showing us that our main problem when it comes to this material world, we forget who we are. We forget that I'm part of Krishna. I have the same qualities as Krishna. I'm Sat, I'm Chit, I'm Ananda. But I have forgotten that. And because of that forgetfulness, I'm suffering miserably. And we find out that, you know, people are not suffering out there. They are, but they just, they think that is actual happiness. There's such intense suffering. This forgetfulness causes so much suffering to people. And that suffering becomes, you know, second nature. It becomes normal to suffer. It's not so bad. You live to fight another day, as they say in these worlds. You live to fight another day. So material bondage and spiritual freedom are eternal options of the marginal potency of the Lord. Like I was saying before, we can't be in between. We're either under Duga's intense, you know, reformatory school, or we're under this Christian school of going back to God as soon as possible. In between is anxiety and more suffering. So this is the lesson that Krishna is telling us, is telling Uddhava, who is asking is how we are part of him, and then we come to the natural world, how is it that we forget him? And we forget him by hanging on so much to material sense gratification, by hanging on to the idea that we're actually separate from Krishna when we're not. And that further clouds our judgment, that further clouds our existence in the world. Another nice example that actually shows how in whichever situation that one may be, one has knowledge about the supremacy, about the omnipotency of Krishna's energy, you can actually become liberated instead of being in bondage, is the pastime of Vichatara. In the end of the sixth canto, Vichatara is titled Vichasura's Glorious Death. The battle that goes on between Vichasura and Lord Indra, how whenever there's someone powerful, Indra kind of gets a bit fidgety because he's thinking someone's going to get his position. But he always wants to make sure that there's no one who's going to be higher than him. So Indra performed a few mistakes, and he killed the son of a Brahmana. He killed Vishwarupa, the son of Tvasa. And Tvasa, in return, created this demon, Vichasura. And you understand that Vichasura was actually a very exalted devotee of the Lord. In his previous verse, Vichasura was a very great devotee on large ship occasion. And as he was flying in his airplane, he saw great sages in an assembly. And of course, there was the Lord Mahadev and his supreme wife, Parvati. So because no one can actually understand the position of Lord Shiva and his greatness, all the sages were there, Lord Shiva was sitting down embracing Parvati. And in a mood of, you know, friendship, in a mood of reciprocation, he commented to Lord Shiva how wonderful it is that he's amongst sages and he's embracing his wife. And of course Parvati didn't take it in that way. So Parvati cursed Marsha to become a demon in his next life. And the story goes on, he comes as Vichasura. But then in the past time we see how when Lord Indra is fighting with Vichasura, and Lord Indra is just losing so badly, he's getting hurt, even his elephant Airavata, you know, they're falling down, and he's thinking that his Narayan Kavacha shield that he got from Lord Vishnu, his protective armor, won't work. And then Vichasura starts preaching to Indra. Vichasura starts telling Indra that if you think that you are the cause of everything, if you think that you are the supreme controller, then you are in illusion. Because Lord Vishnu will award you defeat or victory. So don't be attached to whatever happens. You just perform your duty. So Vichasura is preaching to Lord Indra, giving him some knowledge about how not to get bound by fruitive activities. How we should act in knowledge, and that whatever you do, Krishna is actually the supreme controller. So you may work as hard as Krishna is telling Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra when Arjuna doesn't want to fight. Krishna gives him knowledge. Krishna instructs him, whether you fight or not, all these people, they have already died by my supreme will. So Vichasura is telling Indra, listen, the real thing is that there's only one controller, there's only one supreme lord, and that is Lord Krishna, that is Vishnu. So, depending on your sweet will, you will become victorious or you will lose in battle. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's the mercy of the Lord. So get up and let's fight. Because Indra was down and his armor, his shield was all over the place. and which Asura is encouraging Indra to act in knowledge of Krishna's supremacy. Understand that Krishna has his material potency, Krishna has his spiritual potency. So you should always know that in that way you won't have any fear. Whether you die or you don't die, it doesn't matter, because Krishna takes care of the living entity. So Vitasura preaches to Lord Indra, and Indra gets up and starts fighting again. And after Lord Indra cuts off the two arms of Vitasura, Vitasura, having so much knowledge about his position and Krishna's position, and how they relate, about how he's part and parcel of Krishna, Vitasura entered into samadhi. So he entered into samadhi, and Vitasura actually left his body and went back to Vaikuntha. Because of that knowledge, he knew whether I'm defeated, whether I win or not, you know, I know my position with Krishna. I'm going back home, back to Godhead. So it doesn't matter how or what time it is. That's my eternal position. I'm under Krishna's shelter. When he chooses to take me back, it doesn't matter. So Vitasura, as his arms got shortened, he swallowed Indra in Airavata. And then he entered into samadhi, and his soul left and went back to Vaikuntha. Lord Indra, the other one, he's thinking that now that Vitasura is silent, I'm going to kill him. So Vitasura's body was already there because the soul had left. So Lord Indra goes and he starts cutting off Vitasura's head. And it took him 360 demigod years to do that. Because his body was dead, so it was difficult for Lord Indra to cut off his head. Because it was solid, it was hard, it was a dead body. But Lord Indra still doesn't get that, you know, Vitasura has already left his body and gone back to Vaikuntha. He had knowledge about the Lord's potency and his energy, Krishna's internal potency. So he gives different examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, how the different living entities act with knowledge, and they use that knowledge to liberate themselves out of the clutches of material existence. So the jiva, in its perfected state, never sees himself as being separate from Krishna. So we never see ourselves as, you know, being very separate from Krishna and Krishna not having any impact in our lives. We understand that everything, you know, moving and unmoving, animate and inanimate in this world is a creation of Krishna's energy. And we understand that everything rests on Krishna as pearls are strong and thread. So if we take our neck beads and we pull the beads, they're all separate little beads and they're all individual. But if you remove the thread, the beads are just scattered everywhere. There's no direction, there's no control, there's nothing. Beads are everywhere. But Krishna is actually the one who, it shows that Krishna actually keeps everything together, material and spiritual. Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. And that is the real understanding, that is acting with knowledge. And in that way, you don't get bound to material existence. You don't get bound to the misidentification of this world as being permanent. But that is the main problem. This avidya, this ignorance, acting without knowledge, means basically you take the false ego to be you. So the false ego tells you, I am matter. The false ego tells you, this huge volume of matter is my home. This universe is my home. This material planet is my home. This is what the ahankara principle does to the jiva. And this is why the jiva has been suffering since time immemorial. But the jiva can take himself out of that suffering once he starts understanding that there is a superior energy. Krishna's internal energy, that Shirka Gya Shakti that is spoken about in the purport. That when we're acting under that potency, we can actually become liberated. But when we act under the Durga's potency, the external energy, we become conditioned. Because that's the main reason. The duty of that potency is actually to just keep us bound. And this is what Krishna instructs, this is what Krishna explains to Uddhava. Uddhava is asking how is it that the living entity is bound to this world overwhelming part of Krishna? It was supposed to be, you know, the superior energy. How do we get confused like this? So Krishna starts explaining about his different potencies, the Shivaja potency, the Durga Shakti. He starts explaining when this identification happens on the part of the jiva starts thinking that this, the jiva starts forgetting that he's part of Krishna, and he starts thinking that he's master, and therefore he struggles since time immemorial, transmigration from one body to another. So this is why the jiva is trapped in this conditioned life, because we're hanging on to the ahankar, which is the root cause, of course, is avidya, is ignorance. And the only way to get out of this ignorance is to contact the king of all knowledge, knowledge about, you know, the absolute truth, realizing Krishna and how he's maintaining everything. I'm going to give a few translations from the Bhagavad Gita that will tie in with what I've been trying to hopefully bring out. Confidential knowledge in chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts explaining his different energies. In Sanskrit, read Maya Lakshmi Prakriti, Shriya Sita, Charasharam, Nekunam, Nekunthaya, Jagadhi Paragatati. That supernatural energy, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Those who are bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that limited condition, their hopes for liberation, their brutal activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. So here Krishna himself states, he says, because the jiva, we get bewildered, not knowing who we are, misidentifying the body, then it's automatic that will be covered, will be in a state of avidya, will be in a state of ignorance. And in that way, we forget what our natural tendency towards Krishna is. We're in complete forgetfulness, and therefore we don't, there's no way for us getting liberation. We become conditioned more and more. So this happens when we create this culture of living in ignorance. You don't get out of the vision, but you continue to get conditioned in this material world. And then the next text, Krishna says, O son of Krishna, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So you have two. You're either under Krishna's inferior energy or Krishna's superior energy. So you either serve Maya or you either serve Krishna's internal force. There's no in between. And if you choose to be in between, then it's a very uncomfortable position. It's like when you're trying to cross a lake or a river, and then you put one foot in one boat, in a small little canoe, and then you put another foot. To actually go across the water, you know, it's quite difficult. It's very uncomfortable. So our life in the so-called material world is full of choices. We choose whether we want to live in Australia or Britain, or if we want to have straight or curly hair, if we wear glasses or not, if we wear jeans or skirts. You know, we have so many choices. And what we have to choose is, we have to choose either we serve Krishna's internal potency or his external potency. There's no way around it. And depending on where we go, that will either be the cause of our liberation or our bondage in this material world. So this is the fun, this is the instruction in text 4, that we should gain knowledge about these potencies of Krishna and how we can liberate him and get us out of the avidya that we are conditioned to in this world, which is based on our ahankar, our false ego. So thank you for your attention and listening. Does anyone have any question or comment or correction? We'll start with Mahatma Prabhu.
Well, what you said is very correct. We are stubborn, we don't want to surrender to Krishna. And misidentification. And Mahaprabhu says that, actually my Guru Maharaj says that Mahaprabhu predicted everybody will be Krishna conscious, eventually. Everyone will be Krishna conscious. So we have to keep on preaching what we are doing. So all of us have to preach to the best of our ability, so that we can please Krishna. That is the way.
Continue preaching. And because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity, he'll reveal himself accordingly. So we expose as many people as we can to this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and to prasadam and with the different programs that we have. And then gradually the ignorance will be dispelled and they can start inquiring about spiritual transcendental activities.
That will be Guru Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada will be and Mahaprabhu will be pleased. He is the commander.
Mm-hmm.
Mahaprabhu.
Well, in the world of Jnana, so Jnana is knowledge that helps us get into bhakti. But you don't necessarily, you know, bhakti is not dependent on Jnana. Like when we first came, we had no knowledge of Krishna. I love myself, I didn't even know the word Krishna ever existed, or devotional service, or all these things. But as you go on in devotional service, you cultivate knowledge to know what you're doing, to know what you're up against, so that you continue to strengthen your devotional service. So knowledge gives us, and then we have to have knowledge of Krishna. We have to know who Krishna is and what his energies are. So for giving, you actually need it as well for preaching, because if you speak to people and you're speaking about the material energy and then you don't really know what you're saying, then it's like, how much can you go? But the knowledge that Krishna is speaking of here specifically, because this is the 11th canto, so this is, we've already discussed pure devotional service in the 10th canto, and we're moving on with it as well in the Uddhava Gita. So Krishna is giving those devotees who are on that path of bhakti, who want to achieve prema bhakti, giving us more knowledge of knowing what pure devotional service and what's not pure devotional service. So Krishna is revealing the knowledge that will help strengthen our determination. And he does so also in the Bhagavad Gita, in the most confidential knowledge, which is chapter 9. And you know that in the Gita, the chapters are categorized, the first 6 chapters, the second 6 chapters, and the last 6 chapters. So the last 6 speak more on Jnana. And then the middle section is mainly about bhakti. And then the first section speaks more about karma and activity. So in chapter 9, this is Krishna revealing this Raja Vidya, king of knowledge. it's hidden, it's in the middle chakra, because it's very special and it's very powerful to attain Krishna when you have that kind of knowledge. So Krishna is repeatedly saying it again for us to hear, so that we can actually attract him more by surrendering onto his internal potency. So he needs knowledge of Krishna and his activities and his potencies.